Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We're live from the Auction Community Studios, once again located here in Ahwatukee. Gambo's office. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadaro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Wow, it's another good day to be an Arizona sports fan. Well, I mean, not for the Diamondbacks.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I was going to say, did you watch the D-backs last night?
I did.
Did you watch the D-backs?
I watched the D-backs, but thank goodness we have many other things to keep us distracted right now.
Yeah,
the Yotes
are up 3-1 in these this qualifying game to get to the playoffs, although it is still very vastly confusing to me. You can't have 22 teams in the playoffs.
I normally mock your confusion, but I'm vastly confused by this as well because I was told these are not playoff games, yet everybody keeps calling them playoff games.
They're not.
Very confused.
You can't have 22 teams in the playoffs. But they're up 3-1. They just got to go from Taylor Hall on a power play to put this thing away in Nashville.
Versus Nashville.
Yeah. As long as you don't get a great comeback here in the last couple of minutes. But it was tied 1-1. Nashville took a 2-1 lead. Tockett challenged the goal, saying that they were offsides, and they were offsides. So they pulled that goal away. Garland got the go-ahead goal to make it 2-1, and then they just added a power play goal really late in the third period. So if they get this, they can go up 2-1 in the series, and then they will play again on Friday. And this was probably going to go five games the way it's set. But got a good goaltending from Kemper. He's got 37 shots on goal, and he's only given up one after playing yesterday.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive with the back-to-back. But, yeah, we were just off the air talking about the power play and how, as you said, it's only – like the words were still coming out of your mouth. It's only good if you score a goal on the power play and Taylor Hall gets the power play.
Yeah, you can have five great chances and not score.
Yeah.
Or you're terrible on the power play and you get one good chance and you score. All that matters is you score.
Yeah, they were 1-10 on the power play before that moment right there.
And then
in
other good news, I'm keeping my eye on the Memphis Grizzlies basketball game right now, and the Utah Jazz are up by 7 over the Memphis Grizzlies. Watching that now.
Yeah, 116-109 with a minute to go.
The
Spurs and the Nuggets are tied at 53, but that game still has a whole second half to go. So we're rooting for the Nuggets today, rooting for the Jazz. Jazz are helping out the Suns' cause by beating the Grizzlies. They might drop to 0-4 in the bubble
if
they're not careful.
Why? Could that team go 1-7 or 0-8?
Possibly. Could it be two brand new teams playing at the 8 and the 9 play-in
game? Could they drop from 8 to 10?
Sure.
Oof.
Oh, absolutely they could. Oh, absolutely they could. We could be looking at two totally brand new teams playing for the right to be the 8th seed. So everything's going good, except for the Arizona Diamondbacks, our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Boy, it was bad last night again, losing to the Astros 8-2. The only respite has come in the announcement that just made about 15 minutes ago. Zach Greinke will not pitch against the Diamondbacks tomorrow. He got pushed back by the Astros to Friday against the A's. Instead, they're going to go with a rookie pitcher on Thursday. I don't know if it matters much because it was a rookie pitcher last night, and he stuck it to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Big time.
He's good. He's got good. You know, I love pitchers that can miss bats. He's a guy. He's a good prospect for them. He definitely misses bats, and you like pitchers that miss bats. And he did a good job last night. The Diamondbacks could not. But you know what? Every pitcher against the Diamondbacks has done a good job. This is a really – the offense has been awful all season long. They have yet to get anything going. Their on-base percentage, runs, hits, it's just – you know, they're the worst in Major League Baseball. And last night – the frustrations of the skipper, Torey Lovello, definitely came out. And after the fifth inning, he made massive changes in that lineup.
Starling Marte out. Eduardo Escobar out. Christian Walker out. Cole Calhoun out. Ketel Marte out. All out at the top of the sixth. And yet, after the game, Torrey insisted during his post-game Zoom press conference, which you were a part of, by the way. I heard that you dialed into the post-game press conference.
Yeah,
the changes in the sixth were not meant to send a message of any kind. That's not how I operate.
No. I don't send messages like that. I'll send messages directly face to face with guys and have those conversations. I just wanted to get some of our guys have been going every day. A little bit more rest, get them off of their feet. So definitely wasn't the intent to send any type of message. I just wanted to maybe live to fight another day, let them watch some baseball, let the understudies get some at-bats, some meaningful at-bats. A couple of them are going to be playing tomorrow, and I just didn't want guys to get stale. So that was my way of accomplishing two things, getting the right guys the rest and getting the understudies a couple at-bats, get their at-bats tuned up.
Huh. The players that got benched, this wasn't a Torrey Lavelle, I'm taking you out because you're not hitting well, and I'm taking you out because you suck. There was no message to send there. Like the players, it's up to their interpretation. Why were you taken out of the game? You figure it out. You're not going to have Torrey coming in there and saying, hey, I take you out of the game because you know what? You're 1 for 11 or you're 0 for your last 15. Those guys got taken out of that game for a reason. You know, they got to figure it out themselves. I mean, the leaders of this team have to step up. You know, the guys that have been here, Peralta, Ahmed, Eduardo Escobar. These are the guys that you've got to count on, these guys. These are your leaders, and they're not playing Diamondback baseball, and they're struggling, and there's no time to feel sorry for yourself. You got to pick yourself up off the canvas. You got to play better baseball, and you got to get going. They've got like 8 guys that are ice cold, and I mean ice cold right now. Torrey makes it, and you know, like I said, I don't think Torrey went in there and said, I'm taking you out of the game because of this. Took them out of the game. He put other guys in. He gave them a chance. They loaded the bases in the seventh. They loaded the bases in the eighth. At least they tried to get something done. And everybody that got pulled out got a chance to watch, sit, and hopefully they come back today and they're angry and they're mad. They want to play better baseball.
Yeah, I watched that game beginning and end last night. It sure felt like a message was trying to be sent. I don't know exactly what the message was, but it sure felt in the moment like there was this moment of, you know what, you guys just sit, watch, think, plan, figure out what's going wrong, because whatever you've done up until this point is obviously not working.
Yeah.
So figure something else out, and I'm gonna pull you out of this game, a game that we are going to lose. I'm going to pull you out of this game now to give you a little extra time to figure out what exactly you're not doing or what exactly it is you are doing that you shouldn't be doing. Either way, I appreciate Torrey trying not to throw anybody under the bus, but I also appreciate him trying not to – he had to try something.
Yes.
He had to – I mean, something to send a message to his core main regular guys, what you're doing isn't cutting it. It sure felt like a message watching that last night.
Yeah, now listen, is you know, the typical way that guys do it is you bench a guy. You're not playing today. You're not starting. This guy's Jake Lamb. You're not starting. I'm going to start Varsha with the designated hitter. Okay, that's the way you typically do it. To take a guy out in the middle of the – take a team out in the middle of a baseball game is a little bit different. You don't see that a whole lot. But if that's Torrey's way of trying to light a fire under their ass or, you know, get a message across or whatever you want to call it, you know what, I'm all for it. I agree. You've got to do something if you're Torrey Lavello. And listen, here's the thing. You're not going to win unless those guys play better baseball. I mean, it's like, because you're not going to win if you throw in John Jay and Tim LaCastro and Stephen Vogt and those guys out there on a regular basis. You're not going to win enough games. Those players aren't good enough. But Christian Walker and Peralta and Escobar and Ketel Marte and Starling Marte, those guys are good enough to win baseball games. So you have to get them going.
Yeah.
But if you need to, you know, if you need to take them out, let them sit for the last half of a baseball game and watch other guys, you know, play hard, load the bases twice, then that's what you do. Let's see if there's results tonight based on what Torrey did yesterday.
There's Mike Hazen this morning on the Doug and Wolf show on if he supports the moves that Lavello made during the game last night.
I don't think it was a benching. I think it was, we're down 8-1 and, you know, we are in the midst of a 60-game season that we are playing guys pretty regularly. And I think he genuinely wanted to get guys off their feet. You know, if the manager is sending messages in various subtle ways, I don't have a problem with it. I think, look,
absolutely.
if we weren't expected to win, or to Doug's question earlier, if the expectation going into the season were different, then yeah, I might have a different take. We might have different conversations around, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. That's not what our expectation was.
Yeah, I just, all at once, all at the same time. And again, the names, I'm talking about the core guys, right? I'm talking about the core players, some of whom aren't to blame for what the Diamondbacks are going through. I think that there had to be some, as Mike said, some subtle messaging involved with that. All at once, everybody have a seat. I want you to watch the rest of this game because I am frustrated with how this thing is going, and it sure felt like that. Now, you watched the game last night, so did I. I promise you we're going to talk about Madison Bumgarner a little bit later,
yes,
because to sit here and pretend like it was all the hitters, Mad Bum was terrible last night. He was terrible. And that drop in velocity, it bit him last night. I mean, they were just sitting on it, waiting for it. Bam. So he had a terrible night, but I'll be curious to see, like you, what, if anything, that subtle move, even if there was no intention behind it, what effect it has on the D-backs tonight in game two.
How much pressure is on these pitchers to be perfect because they're getting no run support?
Of course. Sure.
How much is it if you feel like I can't give up two runs?
Yeah.
Because my team can't score three. So I you know, this feeling of now the pitching hasn't been good at all. The starting pitching has not been good. But, you know, there is a feeling that, you know what, man, if you give up a couple of runs, you're in big trouble because the offense isn't delivering.
All right, let me refresh everybody on a couple of scores. That Coyotes game did go to a final. They won 4-1. They got another goal from Carl Soderberg with 2 minutes left in the game. So they win that one 4-1. Game four is on Friday morning at 11:30. If the Coyotes win, they will advance to the playoffs.
To the playoffs.
If they lose, there's a game five. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And it went to, it's almost a final in the NBA. The Grizzlies are
6 seconds left.
0-4 in the bubble. 122-115, losing to the Utah Jazz with 6.9 seconds to go. The Nuggets have a 3-point lead over the Spurs. They're about 45 seconds away from halftime there.
So this will be the 37th loss for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Suns have 39.
Yeah.
Two games in the loss column.
Crazy.
Two games.
Speaking of the Suns, the Valley still buzzing over Booker's game winner against the Clippers yesterday, but it's not just us here in Arizona that are in awe. Players around the league, people who cover the league, just as we expected. Devin Booker was the talk of the bubble for the last 24 hours, and we'll tell you how and who said what next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Rebound Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time. 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot!
Booker!
And the Suns win the game. Devin Booker at the buzzer. Puts it up and puts it in. Oh, brother. Oh,
what a play by Devin Booker.
That was what you and I sounded like. If you missed it yesterday, there was about 2 minutes left in that game. And Gamble's like, we should take this. We should take it. We should flip the switch.
I texted you.
Yeah, you
You're sitting next to me, but
we're talking.
So I can't be like, hey, do you think we should – let's have a – hold on. Stop the show. Should we have a discuss? I texted you and Jordan. I'm like, hey, it's a little under 2 minutes left. Let's go to this game. What do you think? You think we should go to this game? Now, you know, I just wanted to, you know, and so that's our way. So sometimes, and I pointed to you. I'm like, just keep talking. I'm going to text you something. And then I texted you and Jordan, and then Jordan got the text, and he was like, and then as we're talking, he's talking on our mic saying, I could go to it. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's go to the game. Let's go to the game live.
We potted up Al and Tim, and so that was their reaction, our reaction as we were. And keep in mind, too, we hadn't seen it at that moment. Our TV feed was about, 7 seconds behind
the radio feed?
The radio feed.
Yeah.
So when Al and Tim, we were truly hanging on their every word because what we were watching
was a few
seconds behind. And we didn't actually see it until, you know, 7 seconds later.
When Booker hit the shot on the radio, we had seen Zubac grab the rebound. That's what I remember.
I remember seeing
the missed shot and then Zubac right before Mikhail deflected it. So that's how far we were behind.
J.J. Redick, Booker is ridiculous. Trey Young, damn, Book, that's tough. Bradley Beal, D-Book, my goodness. Specia, which I think is for special. Donovan Mitchell, that's tough. Isaiah Thomas, Book got hoop game. Jared Dudley, the world needs to know how good Devin Book is. And then, of course, no rundown of players saying great things about Devin Booker is complete without LeBron James, who chimed in yesterday on what's...
I was so impressed that you were able to copy and paste his Instagram post onto your email. Yeah. I had no idea how to do that. I'm like, I had no idea. Like, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I hate copying and pasting things because, like, it messes up my email. But, you were able to copy and paste that. I had to put it in a story and send it because I didn't know how to copy and paste it.
That boy too cold, King James says. D-Book tough with the fist up in the air. It was look. We knew it was going to happen. We knew Devin Booker was going to be the talk of the NBA bubble. You could see it coming a mile away, and it was. It's funny. I read a lot of stories about Booker today. I know you did too. And one theme from one of the stories I noticed was, you know, the metrics tell a story about Devin Booker. The analytics tell a story about Devin Booker. But the players love his game.
Yes.
Players in the NBA recognize how special and unique his game is. And even though the analytics might say, yeah, Devin Booker's a good player, he's not a great player, players in the league look at Devin Booker and go, he's a fantastic player. He can do things that other guys just can't do. I watched that shot again probably five times after we were done with the show yesterday. He's got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard,
two of the best defenders
in the NBA, draped on him. Paul George clearly fouled him. Fouled him. And it didn't matter. He rose up. Players respect his game around this league. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
Especially when a guy like Damian Lillard goes to the mat and says, I can't play in the All-Star game. D-Book should take my spot.
Yep.
Right?
He's well-respected among his peers. Well-respected among his peers. And he's just got to win. And he's never been able to win because of the talent that's around him. Look, Ryan McDonough did some really good things that need to be credited. He drafted Booker.
Yep.
He drafted DeAndre. He drafted McHale. The mistake that Ryan made, and it's not, and I got to be honest with you, it's not the Marquise Chris, Josh Jackson mistake, Alex Len. That's not the mistake. The mistake was continuing to try and go younger and younger and younger when you had Booker. You should have built it with veteran players around him to give him a chance to win, but they decided to try to lose more. They made a trade to get McHale. Yes, losing got them DeAndre. But at some point, you need to say, you have to get the right veteran players, not Trevor Ariza, you know? So I think that he ended up doing some really good things that have the Suns with McHale, with DeAndre, and McHale and DeAndre both came within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Ryan, if he had stayed, would have built it a little differently, but he had Book. He had a great talent, but he kept trying to add more young talent and not the right veterans to the mix.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the mistake that he made.
Yeah, and yet also, I mean, look at this team and its core right now. The core is still young. It's Booker, and it's Ayton, and it's Bridges, right? I mean, all relatively young players, older young players now, not 19-year-olds, but still young players. Something else we expected, too, and that's a good point, because our colleague Dan Bickley, you talk about Ryan McDonough. Bickley wrote this morning on ArizonaSports.com, it was a confirmation of Booker's pedigree, his destiny, and proof of what Ryan McDonough told me long ago, quote, no matter what else happens, at least I can say I drafted Devin Booker, close quote. And Ryan McDonough.
And he traded for Mikal Bridges,
yep,
which ended up being a great trade. And he drafted DeAndre, Ayton, which, yep, people want Luka, but there's nothing wrong with DeAndre. I mean, the coaching hirings were not good hirings. And, you know, and the veterans that they brought in were not the right veterans. But the nucleus of the three guys that they're going to build around, Ryan drafted those guys and did a good job with that.
Monty, who is the coach who has pulled this all together, talked today. This is fresh sound from a press conference from the bubble. Booker is putting in the hard work and hasn't even reached his prime yet.
I think a lot of this just, you know, speaks to the work that he puts in his game. And to think that he's as young as he is and hadn't even reached his prime is pretty cool. And, you know, I'm glad I don't have to game plan for that anymore, because you never know how he's going to do it. You know, he can post, he can play mid-range, he can play outside, he can facilitate. And his defense has been something that I don't think people have recognized enough. He doesn't duck a matchup.
And here's Ricky Rubio, who was also made available today. He went there. He compared Booker to the late Kobe Bryant.
Was in the corner, watch it, and then probably watch it like 10 times in the room. The footwork is amazing, and just got goosebumps. It reminds me Kobe Bryant, really footwork. And that happened because he put a lot of work in.
Yeah, that was Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock that at all, man. That's Ricky Rubio's opinion. If he feels, having played in this league against Kobe and now playing with Devin Booker, that there's a comparison there, then he should make that comparison. You know, and who am I to tell you that that's a crazy comparison? You know, Kobe's one of the five greatest players that's ever played the game. And, you know, Book is a 23-year-old kid that still has a lot of his career left and, you know, is just now really reaching, you know, the what he's capable of. And if this team builds a good team around him and he wins, he's going to get a lot more credit.
Yeah. So when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, and the Grizzlies did end up losing that game, they're 0-4 in the bubble, and the Portland Trailblazers are only a game back of Memphis now for that 8th seed.
So you don't have, so if Portland passes Memphis, then you could look at Memphis and say, okay,
yeah, they might.
That's the team that you might have to get past.
Right.
You might be able to allow Portland to win here.
There are only three teams inside the NBA's bubble who have yet to lose a game in Orlando, and two of them will play tomorrow. What kind of team are the Suns facing in the Indiana Pacers tomorrow afternoon? We'll head to Indiana to find out next on the Burns and Gambo show. That's right. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, if you had said, okay, what's going to be the first matchup in the bubble of 2-3-0 teams? Oh, clearly it's going to be the Phoenix Suns and the Indiana Pacers. I mean, no doubt, right?
It's what I had.
I'm sure you.
It's what I predicted.
Sure it was. Well, the rest of us dummies who did not predict that, we're all in shock and a little bit of awe, but that's what it's going to be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And suddenly, from the Phoenix Suns' perspective, tomorrow's game is once again another huge, huge game. So to give everybody out there the best indication and all the information we can on the Indiana Pacers, we go to Indianapolis, where the Pacers sideline reporter, their pre- and post-game show host, Jeremiah Johnson, he joins us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Jeremiah, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Always been following you guys on social media. Thanks for the invite. And, yes, it's a battle of unbeaten. I don't know. I'm surprised they don't flex this to TNT in a night broadcast.
I know. It's, you know, and listen, you know, the Phoenix Suns traded T.J. Warren for several reasons. They had four wing players, T.J., Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, and Kelly Oubre. They needed to reallocate some of that money. TJ's contract is good, but by getting off of that, it allowed them to add players like Ricky Rubio, and they're building around Mikal and Kelly. So I understand why they did it. They clearly, Indiana got a great deal. They, you know, that was a great deal, that because Phoenix had to move him, and TJ was hurt a lot while he was here. So just give me the thought process from when you guys, when the Indiana Pacers got TJ Warren. Did you feel like it was a steal then?
Well, I remember where I was. It was, you know, draft night, and we were kind of thinking, what might the Pacers do? There was some rumors and some talk they might move up, or they might even trade out of that first-round pick altogether. And all of a sudden, you know, the Woj bomb drops, and it's like, wait a second. T.J. Warren's coming to Indiana. And at the time, there was still some uncertainty whether Thaddeus Young would be back. And in all reality, the team had already committed to going big, and so you were trying to see how all the pieces – would fit together. So when I heard TJ Warren was coming to Indiana, I initially thought, great. And you're going to get a second round pick. Yeah, no problem with that. But I think everyone thought he might be the backup four with this group, and then you were still trying to, at that point, sign Bojan Bogdanovic. So I kind of thought at the time, I was disappointed because Thaddeus Young was maybe an interviewer or a media person's best friend, and I thought that would signal Thaddeus Young would not return, which was in fact the case. But the Pacers still wanted to get Bojan Bogdanovic, and if they had signed Bogdanovic, Warren would have been a good backup four, stretch four maybe, or a three. But they didn't get Bogdanovic. They put that money to Brogdon, and Warren has just fit like a glove. I understand the Phoenix Suns' perspective that they were able to get, you know, other off of some salary, and it wasn't a perfect fit. But, I mean, two-way player, that's the thing that's been most impressive to me from T.J. Warren, the way he's played defensively and then offensively in the bubble. Everyone's seen it.
Yeah, there was a feeling, too, Jeremiah, that, you know, he needs the ball in his hands the same way that Josh did. Where Mikhail doesn't need the ball in his hands, he could affect the game, you know, in a lot of other ways. TJ needs to have the ball to be effective. Have you noticed that in his short career with Indiana?
A little bit, but he's moved without the ball better than I think maybe he did previously. And also, I don't think he's the kind of person that's selfish, because some games he gets, you know, 12 to 15 shots has kind of been his average. And I think he just picks his spots. And when he's hot, the team has done a really good job of finding him. So he does need the ball in his hands, but he doesn't all the time. And the way this team has operated over the last few years, when the Pacers have played at their best, it's one guy has 20, one has 19, one has 18, one has 15. Not like you're seeing in the bubble when TJ Warren has 53 and 34 and 32. So what we've seen for much of the season is balanced scoring. So he's able to get the ball just enough to keep himself happy. It's enough of a, you know, balanced attack, so defenses can't really key in on any one player. But Oladipo wasn't healthy. That allowed him to begin the season for T.J. Warren to really make his mark offensively. And then even when Victor Oladipo came back, everything kind of ran through Domantas Sabonis. But Warren is still a dangerous option. So more of a second or third option during the regular season, but the go-to guy in the bubble.
Yeah, and that to me is the burning question as we're talking with Jeremiah Johnson. He's the Pacers sideline reporter, pre- and post-game show host as well. Suns Pacers tomorrow from the bubble, 1 o'clock Arizona time. I mean, we can sit here and talk about the T.J. Warren that the Suns were giving to Indiana and the T.J. Warren the Pacers thought they were getting in that trade. This T.J. Warren that we've seen in these last three games, I don't know who this guy is. I mean, this is 53, 34, 32. I don't know what T.J. Warren, you and Gambo were just talking about. This is a different T.J. Warren here. What has happened in these three games that has mandated T.J. Warren and what has allowed him to put up the numbers that he's put up so far in the bubble?
Well, early in the quarantine, Nate McMillan issued a challenge to T.J. to really work on his three-point shot. He thought they would need him to kind of stretch the floor a little bit. I don't think they realized at the time they wouldn't have Sabonis inside. But the other thing that really happened, I think, before that Philadelphia game, you're already without Sabonis. You have Victor Oladipo on a minutes restriction. Jeremy Lamb's already hurt. And then about 2 hours before the game, you find out that Malcolm Brogdon is not able to play. And I remember driving to the studios thinking, who's going to score for the Pacers? T.J. Warren's going to have to carry a heavy load, and he was prepared for that. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's ever afraid of, hey, T.J., we're going to need you to score a little bit more. I think he's pretty much okay with that. So without Brogdon in that first game and without Sabonis, two of your, you know, three leading scorers, I think it gave T.J. that green light to maybe do just a little bit more. And then think about this. In that first game, Miles Turner picks up two fouls in about 2 minutes, plays only 20 minutes, was basically a non-factor. So all of the Pacers' top scorers are gone. T.J. Warren shouldered the load, and then that confidence he got from the first game carried over into the second and on into the third. But what he's done has basically been the best player in the NBA in the bubble, and I'll argue anyone. I mean, look at the stats and the way he's getting these points. So many top scorers, they get to the free throw line 10 to 15 times a game. He's averaging about three or four free throws a contest. He's highly efficient. And in three games with the ball in his hand so much, he has one turnover. So I'm running out of things to say. I, you know, host a pregame show and a postgame show, and I've never talked about T.J. Warren this much as I have in the last week, but I'm happy to continue.
Look, you know, we can make an argument with Booker's 35 against the Clippers, with the game winner over the two best defenders in the NBA, and the 30 versus Dallas, and that he's been the best player in the bubble too. But both of these guys have really been winners. There's no doubt about it. Both of these guys are really playing excellent. Did the Jimmy Butler feud motivate TJ a little bit, do you think?
Yeah, we'll see. They're going to see a lot of the Heat later this month, and there's a chance they could play nine times in a span of about 2 weeks, because the Pacers, he played two of the last three seeding games, and there's a good chance if the Pacers can at least hold serve that they will be in that 4-5 matchup. I'm not sure. I felt like going into that, if anything, it helped him get the confidence of his teammates, and they kind of rallied around him. He is so quiet, as you know, and I felt in the first two or three months of the season, nobody really knew him. If you would ask one of his teammates, you know, can you tell me a good TJ Warren story, they would kind of look at you and, I know, he kind of keeps to himself and just plays basketball. And when that happened, I do think he kind of had a good moment of, you know, team bonding and chemistry, where they kind of rallied behind him a little bit, and they kind of said, you know, we've got your back. Now, the only thing that has happened is they haven't had that opportunity to play Miami since then. So we'll see what happens later this month. But I think that he didn't like the fact that, you know, he's getting all this attention for that reason. You know, he's still at his core. He's a basketball player, and he's not going to back down from anybody. But it was, you know, all anyone is talking about TJ Warren until the last week was Jimmy Butler and a loss, a blowout loss, and an ejection. So, yeah. If anything, I think he wanted to change the narrative just a little bit. But I also don't think he really cares what anybody thinks, whether it's you, me, a reporter, someone on Twitter. He just wants to score buckets and play basketball.
We're up against it, but I got one last question for Jeremiah Johnson, who covers the Pacers there in Indiana. We know what the Suns' motivation is, clearly, and their desperation in these eight seeding games. What are the Pacers trying to accomplish in these games in terms of their seeding, and what is their level of motivation going into tomorrow's game or just in general?
I think they definitely, while they won't specifically say it, they want in that 4-5 game. Nate McMillan, you know, if you ask him, he'll say he wants, you know, home court advantage still, even though it doesn't really matter. But the Celtics series was not good for the Pacers last year. I don't think anyone wants to really see that again if they don't have to. And I think they want to take their chances with Miami. So that's the motivation right now, to stay above Philadelphia, get in that 4-5 game. But I think the coaching staff has treated this as, you know, very important games, must-win type of situations more than most in the NBA bubble. They've had TJ playing, you know, 40 minutes a game. The bench has been really good all season, but they haven't used them as much in the first three games. So my concern would be wearing these guys out, but it does feel like they're playing to win, absolutely. And as long as there's a chance to get a higher seed, they're going to do everything it takes to win. So don't expect the Pacers to go into this one thinking, we got off to a good start, we don't really need this. And then the Suns come in at 3-0, they'll have their attention.
Jeremiah, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few. It was good chatting with you.
Anytime. Looking forward to a little matinee basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, so are we. Jeremiah Johnson joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Pacers sideline reporter, pre- and post-game show host as well. TJ Warren versus Devin Booker tomorrow. Maybe the two best players in the bubble so far.
Remember when they trolled, the Pacers trolled the Suns after TJ had a good game against Phoenix?
Oh, yeah.
Cash considerations, 0 points, zero rebounds, and zero assists.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, yes. Tomorrow's game's got more angles, I think, than we ever would have imagined possible. When we come back, the Arizona Cardinals slowly working their way back into the grind of training camp. How different will this camp be for Cliff Kingsbury and the players? You'll hear from the Cardinals head coach next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, we welcome in Sarah Cazell into the show. We have yet to hear from her today, but she is here with us now with today's Twitter poll question of the day. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good. If I remember right, we were going to re-release a Twitter poll question.
You do remember correctly.
Okay.
That's exactly what we've done.
We took an oldie but a goodie, and
that's
we re-released it, right?
An oldie by about 48 hours, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question, it's a repeat of our poll from Monday when we asked, have your expectations changed for Phoenix regarding the rest of the season? Now, we asked that on Monday after the Suns went 2-0 in the bubble. They are now, of course, 3-0 in the bubble, having beaten the Clippers yesterday in just a really exciting game. Let's just put it that way.
Very exciting. Yes.
So the question is, have your expectations changed for Phoenix regarding the rest of this season? And I've added an option. So it's four options for you to vote on.
Okay.
The first, yes, I expect more now. No, I expected a good run out of the Suns. It's a hot start, but they're going to start losing some games. Or the fourth option, no, my expectations have not changed for the bubble this season, but they have changed for the next season, 2020-2021.
My expectations have changed. I expect more. A team that I thought I'd be happy with 4-4. I think is now capable and more likely to go 5-3 or 6-2. I think I'm going to go with option number 3.
Hot start, but more losses coming?
No.
Okay, the fourth option?
The fourth option.
Not necessarily for this season, but yes, for next season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think what they've done is they put themselves in a position where they are going to be expected to do some things next year.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're... Yes, I expect more now. That's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
Boy, that is a... That's a... Yeah. So, but what do you expect?
Well, more... Okay, I expect... What I expected was 4-4. I expect more than that now.
Okay.
Right? That was... we both kind of agreed. Hey, if you can go 4-4 in the bubble, pretty good work, right? Especially with the schedule that you're playing. I'm expecting they're 3-0.
We want more.
Damn right.
Yeah, yes. We want more.
You're darn tootin' I do.
Okay.
So
you expect more now.
Yes.
You're in the now.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs now. I'm expecting more than what my own expectations were. My own expectations were 4-4. I am now expecting more than that.
I am fascinated to and these are the same as the other day, right, Sarah?
Yes, plus the final one, not for this season, but yes, for next season. That's the new option.
Ooh, okay. Right.
So what are the results so far?
Right now in the lead, 36% are with you, Burnsy. They say, yes, my expectations have risen for the Suns this season. 25% say, no, my expectations haven't changed because I expected a good run out of them. 23% say, no, not necessarily for this season, but yes, I expect more for next season. And then 16% are saying, okay, good start, but they're going to start losing some games now.
Relatively... Okay. Even.
So we can't really compare it to the last one because we've added a new one.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Good poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where that's at. Cliff Kingsbury. And given everything that went on with the Suns, we were certainly going to feature more of this yesterday. Didn't have a chance to. But obviously, the Arizona Cardinals, and they made a few roster moves. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But let's talk about the team as we know it right now. Marcus Gilbert obviously has opted out. The organization made that official moments ago. And Cliff Kingsbury yesterday talked at length about players needing to do their part to be as safe as they possibly can.
I feel like the longer we go, the more it's about doing your due diligence and doing what's right. As far as we know, protocol-wise, and being where you should be and trying to avoid situations that you could put yourself at risk. We all have a great appreciation right now that are at this facility for being able to have a job and being able to be together and try to pull this thing off. But we also understand it can be taken quickly. I do feel our players understand what their actions will accomplish and what, you know, the wrong actions can tear down. And I like where our mindset's at. It's going to take everybody for the entire 6-7 months. And I do feel like our team understands that.
I hope so.
You hope so.
Yeah. The NBA tested how many players in the bubble? 323, was it?
343. Yeah.
343 and no positive tests.
Zero. Zero.
Zero.
The NHL released their numbers from a couple days ago, and they're at zero so far. Baseball is kind of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, right? We saw the Marlins play last night, albeit with 17 roster moves that they had to make just to be able to get on the field. But there is a level of, unfortunately, for the players, some of the things that you're accustomed to doing and being during a season, if you're going to be responsible and accountable to your teammates, you're not going to be able to do some of the things, some of the enjoyable activities maybe that you used to do. You're going to have to limit those because of your greater responsibility to your team during this fall.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And in a bubble, you don't have those options.
No.
You can't make a decision to go to the grocery store. You can't make a decision to go, you know, out to eat at a restaurant. You can't make a decision to go gather with a bunch of friends that are having a barbecue at somebody's house.
Sure. Or the bar. Or
you can't make a decision like that. But your decision is go to your room.
Yeah. Right.
Do you want to play Fortnite? Or do you want to play, you know, NBA 2K? The show? Like, that's your decisions.
Yes.
Yeah, here's more Kingsbury on the message to the coaches dealing with this weird training camp.
Number one, don't make the meetings all about football. Make sure we're checking in, touching base, seeing how guys are doing, you know, touch on some pop culture, some sports, and then make them quick. We wanted to get them on, get them off. We knew it was a challenging time for our players and our country, and didn't, you know, want to make football the focus by keeping them on there an extended amount of time. So it was, hey, keep it interesting, keep it short, and keep it moving.
But Cliff did an interview this morning with Good Morning Football, and here I don't have the soundbite here. I'm just going to read the quote to you. Quote, there will be high anxiety for all us coaches week one. It'll be fun for the league, but there's definitely going to be some coaches on edge week one, close quote. And I imagine that's twofold. Number one,
sure. No preseason games.
No preseason games.
Can't get them ready like you normally do.
And number two, who do you have available? Who's healthy? Who avoided catching COVID?
Well, that's why they added a safety today. They only had five safeties. So they added another one because they needed depth. They made a couple of roster moves today. They added two players. One of them was a safety. I think it's just the depth signing. Because they were down to five, you know, they only have five safeties.
They signed at safety Kentrell Bryce.
Yep.
They signed receiver Andre Patton. And then there was a report earlier that the Cardinals had also signed offensive lineman Coda Martin after he was waived by the L.A. Chargers to add a little more depth on the offensive line with Marcus Gilbert's announcements. The good news is I was a little worried about Max Williams because Max Williams was
on that same list.
Was on that same list that Marcus Gilbert was. He has passed his physical. He is cleared. He is now active for training camp.
Yeah, I think the NFL made a mistake with the ability to pay somebody $350,000 because a lot of these guys that are on minimum contracts that, you know, aren't 100% sure that they're going to make the roster, I'll just take the $350,000. I'll take it because I know I'm going to get $350,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, if they would play, they could make $900,000 to $1 million. But I think some of those guys say, I would rather have a third of that than the chance that I have none of that.
The Suns' 3-0 start to the NBA bubble has provided hope for the fans here in the Valley. What does that actually look like? And what actually needs to happen for the Suns to complete this and get into the play-in game? We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.